Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
HIV is still an issue in Montgomery County. The more open we're able to talk about HIV, we treat it like any other health prevention.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. People who are not HIV positive, who may be at high risk for contracting the disease, this is a good choice for you.
It's just a way for you to sort of take control and say, I'm going to do this to protect myself. Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about PrEP, the HIV prevention medication. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
What's happening, Rush Nation? It's Monday night. Murph's waved me on as if I'm late for my stage appearance. We are back. And it's almost not nighttime. I can just see the end of the sunrise ahead of me. Saying that has let my visuals disappear, so I'll stop mentioning the sun. It's definitely nighttime. Big man, we're talking some fantasy football today. How the devil are you, sir?
I'm good. It's good to be back talking fantasy football. It's time to start to review 2020 and take what we can to move forward. But yes, all good. We're moving towards free agency, which is a great time of year. Then the draft, we've got loads of stuff going on now. This is like a busy time in the NFL, so it's one more dead week to go. So we thought we'll shoehorn this episode in now, and then after free agency we'll do the other couple for running backs and wide receivers. So I'm excited for this is going to be, it's one of my favorite episodes to do, and this provides some basis for the book and a few other things that we do. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I enjoyed it last year when you bought this sort of spreadsheet that Rush Nation, you will see coming very soon if you are watching on YouTube. If you're not, go back and watch on YouTube or Twitter or wherever it is available, or just listen to us on your podcast and then buy the book for this information if you want a deeper dive into it. I think that's pretty much what we're saying, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So this is like the snapshot ahead of time. It's like a sneak preview into the book. So if you bought it last year, you'll recognize the graphs because they're the same colors and the same layout, and there's not much different. I've added one new column, and that's pretty much it. But everything else remains the same, just with new information. So it's just a case of framing, looking at the 2020 season, what is there to take away from it? And then how do we move forward to 2021 by position group? So, and you're going to ask me some questions. I'm going to dive into it based on what you think is interesting. I've got a few little facts and tidbits, and we're going to do hopefully QBs and tight ends today.
Yeah, we will definitely do QBs. You know how Murph and I go. We tend to go around the houses and end up maybe half the topic away from where we should be at the end of the line. But hey, quarterbacks will definitely be done today, and hopefully tight ends too. We would, before we dive into the QB consistency and analysis, I suppose, we would absolutely love if you could give us some reviews wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever it is you listen. A review would really help us reach more people. because ultimately that's what we're here for. We're here for communication amongst the community, and the more people we reach, the more people we can chat to. So we would massively appreciate that. And then the Ricky Williams jersey competition is still running, Rush Nation. We're asking for a £2 donation to our chosen charity, which is Unique. It's a pinned tweet on our Twitter, and don't do gift aid as it is a competition. But yeah, that's it. It's that simple, right?
Yeah, it really is that simple. So just once we reach a certain number, I think it's 30 we agreed, then we would, or even 20. I can't remember what we agreed, but we will give that jersey away or do a live draw on Twitter or something, and we'll give it away. So yeah, £2 for chance, and you know, you're going to have a better than 3% chance at the minimum, or 3.5% chance of winning the jersey. So, and you give money to charity, and it's £2. It's not a lot of money. Appreciate money is tight. So, you know, just enter it, and I can't wait to give the jersey away.
Absolutely. So we have finished our Devi drafts. I don't actually remember when ours finished, but mine is definitely finished now. I presume yours is, because you were ahead of us, right?
Yeah. And I'm not in the rookie or Devi draft after that. So I took just veteran players, because the pricing for rookie and Devi picks was too rich for my blood. So I just went with vets. So I have a straight vet draft with no rookie picks. And I traded my rookie picks next year to move up boards to get great value.
Nice. Talking of Rich, I have a bit of beef with you. After I was counting Devi and rookie picks in ours, and then you started telling people how many were left. So you stole the value from people who perhaps weren't interested. And the last time you put up how many were available, they started going like hotcakes. So, keep that information to yourself, Kamish. Come on.
Well, it is in the pinned tweets. A pinned message in the chat.
What, that keeps getting updated?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you don't update it and people have to keep their own list, then...
No, it does get updated. He updates it.
That's what I'm saying. Don't do it, Rich. Let people miss out. I was at the other end, and I thought I'd better grab a couple here. And then Rich put a message out, and I think the next 8 picks were all rookie and Devi, and then there was not a lot there.
That's dreamy. That's exactly what you want.
I mean, my team is built for now. If I don't win this coming season, I'm hugely, hugely disappointed, because I've built it. It's stacked. It's absolutely stacked. But hey, we're not here to talk about our teams. It was odd doing a draft at this time of the year. I was opposed to it, not going to lie, because free agency hasn't happened. We don't know where the rookie draft hasn't happened yet. But yeah, the free agency business irked me somewhat, but it's fine. And I did my usual super flex trick of letting all the quarterbacks go before the last two were available, and then I had to take them. So Drew Lock and Daniel Jones, I'm riding you, or not, perhaps, if you don't have a job. Right. Let's talk quarterbacks and quarterbacks consistency, Murph. Top 24, right?
Yeah, so we're going to dig into the top 24. Outside of that, this is not really one that interesting or overly relevant, because it's the guys down there, injuries or potentially not starters this year. It's just not really a lot to get out of. You know, we can look at people like Burrow, and it's just like, okay, fine, but Burrow is injured for half a season. It was his rookie year. We know he's going to get better. Not overly concerned at digging into Burrow's profile right now. We kind of know what he is, and we kind of know where he's going to go this year. He's going to be available for you as a late round option. And if you want to invest, you can, and he probably isn't a terrible investment. So instead, we're going to focus on the top 24 performers from last year. And there's one or two we probably don't need to go into too much detail, but the rest we absolutely can. I guess, you know, you'll have questions. The data should be on the screen. So we're going to go through this, and you'll be able to go through. And I have some themes and big sort of grand takeaways from this that we should take. So, yeah, why don't we get into it, and we can go through and sort of deep dive the QBs from 2020 performance.
A grand takeaway. That sounds pretty big. I mean, to me, a grand takeaway is like a full-on Indian or Chinese with all the trimmings. But I'm looking forward to your takeaways from this, because when you threw this at me this afternoon via email, there was some stuff that I picked up initially that I thought, really? Like, where does that come from? Or why is he there? And stuff like that. So I do have a question straight out the gate. With the total fantasy points, is this 4 or 6 point touchdown?
This is a 4 point touchdown. So this is just based off standard QB scoring, 4 point touchdown. minus one point interception. Just what you get is if you were setting up this league. So these point totals. So I guess let me preframe this. So where I've got these point totals, these are not just numbers plucked out of the air. these are numbers. I basically analyzed the entire performance of the season for QBs, and I took basically the top five. So the average of where fifth place QB would be, and then 12th place. And then that's where I kind of got these. And then just basically did some very minor rounding to hundredths of percent to pull Thank these you. Numbers. So as a result, what we're saying here is an MVP week is a top five on average week. So that point total would have been good enough on the average medium for a top five. Now, I could have gone through every single week and I could have said this person was top five this week, top five that week. But the reason I didn't do that is because you could have weeks where a QB could get 37 points and be fifth. And you could have a week where a QB could score 19 points and be fifth. And they're not the same thing. And so to devalue it in that way is not right, because just because a QB finished in the top five with, say, 17 and a half points, and there was a random week where QB scoring was very, very low, then that didn't help you win a week. You were just in a pile with everyone else. Yeah. So what this has done is it's taken the median point. So basically, if you scored 20, if a QB scored 26 and a half points in a week, typically it was a top five week. Some weeks it wasn't, but most times it was. And if it wasn't, it wasn't going to kill you. Like, it was still going to be a week that you were going to be, unless you came across the QB one week and, you know, your QB scored 26 and a half points and another QB scored 48. Like, yeah, okay, probably didn't help you. But those things are so rare. This is just a way of having like a consensus. And then a middle of the road week. So a solid week, 18 to 26 and a half points. Now, this is where QBs probably didn't kill you, didn't cost you a week. They scored fine, didn't really blow it out of the water, but didn't hurt you either. And then you had the bust weeks here, which is where if a QB was scoring under 18 points last week, they weren't finishing in the top 12 scoring on average this season, which then you have to look at it is that person we're playing. Now, again, you can have bust weeks where people QBs didn't kill you. You could have scored 17.92 points. It's like, did it really hurt you that much? No, but in the grand scheme of things, you're going to want QBs who are scoring at least above 18 points a week on average. So this is why we've highlighted these busts for consistency and just tracking these numbers. So it kind of gives you an idea on consistency, on how QBs performed week to week. And you can kind of see what was good, i.e. green, what was okay, which was sort of yellow, or it's not quite yellow because yellow looks weird. So I've kind of done it in this sort of orangey, like orange kind of color. And then red is obviously bad. And, you know, we see red on the screen. And then as we go down, the more, you know, red we see, the worse it is. Just to sort of scare everyone there by moving the graph. So that's where we got to, and that's kind of what we're looking at here. So we're using this data to analyze about how consistent quarterbacks were, but also just, is there anything in here that's telling? So to give you a quick reframe, if you didn't listen to the show last year, I reframed, you know, what we analyzed was that Baker Mayfield didn't have any MVP weeks. So he didn't have any good weeks. He just had solid weeks or crap weeks. So he had a very low kind of upside. Whereas Daniel Jones actually had four high scoring weeks, which made, you know, people like myself, wrongly I might add, think that he had some potential upside and he was a QB that might be worth targeting because he had these four games in isolation that were quite good. Obviously the sample size is small on someone like Daniel Jones, but it gave you hope for someone like him, and that's why, you know, people like me did invest in a few leagues in him and it didn't really pan out. But ultimately, what we're trying to do here is deduce the value of quarterbacks. And that's really what I'm going to talk about today in this piece.
You just mentioned Daniel Jones. I won't spoil where he is, but he's not in the bit you can probably see on the screen, Rush Nation. No. And just above him is Drew Lock. So the two guys I just mentioned for my Devi Superflex League are holding up the table somewhat, shall we say. I mean,
they're on the table. That helps you a little bit.
Yeah, what I was going to say is it would be quite good to see how this broke down, because this is obviously for one quarterback leagues, right?
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see where the numbers got to on a super flex league as to what would be considered a bust points-wise if you had to start two quarterbacks, or not had to, but if you did start two quarterbacks. So I think...
Well, in the 2QB league, it would still constitute kind of the same. It's just what you're saying is that because you're starting potentially more quarterbacks, I mean, you can kind of translate this information. I could play with the point totals and move them a little bit, but it's not actually going to change much in terms of the ranks or it's in quarterbacks. But this table is breaking down effectively performance in terms of what you're going to get out of positions. And we can say that the second QB slot is, it doesn't require as many points because you're looking at QBs 13 to 24. But ultimately, at the same point, as we do with running backs and wide receivers, it is still not good to have a QB score below this. And then you're getting to the point of, if they're busting that often, is it even worth starting them in the super flex spot over a stud wide receiver or a stud running back? And then that's where your line of demarcation is going to get to, because if they're going to bust at a high frequency, then actually, you know, just because it's a super flex spot does not necessarily mean you have to start two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So actually, if you do have a quarterback who is busting at a very high rate, maybe you, and you have four stud wide receivers, for example, and four stud running backs, and you only have a couple of flex spots, there could be an advantage to playing a stud player there as opposed to a ropey QB2.
So two things I've learned already from our short conversation about this is, if you're playing in a super flex, it is almost, and you're planning on getting two of the good guys, you have to really go after two of the good guys in order to maximize that super flex spot. And then secondly, Daniel Jones and Drew Lock probably aren't going to fill both of my quarterback slots next year.
No, I mean, listen, I think Daniel Jones had a tough year. And the one thing with Daniel Jones, just talking very anecdotally about him, his numbers, we'll get to them, don't look great. But he also, you know, had a lot of injuries. He lost Saquon Barkley and they didn't have much of a run game at all, which meant that when schemed against, it was much easier to scheme against Daniel Jones because you didn't have a threat like Barkley in the backfield, and their run game was so poor for the first eight, nine games of the season. In fact, going beyond that, really, it was only in the last few games that they got a run game going. And when you can't establish the run and everyone knows you're going to put the ball in the air, it's very, very easy to cover. And then you've got the likes of the fact that, other than Evan Ingram, you know, he just didn't really get on the page with Sterling Shepard was in and out. Golden Tate was in and out. You know, Darius Slayton, all of a sudden you double cover Darius Slayton, you take him out of the game. Who has Daniel Jones got to win games with? Like, ultimately, no one. And that is kind of what happened. There's a path to where I can see Daniel Jones, based on his peripherals, where he can redeem himself if given the opportunity. And that's kind of the big question. Drew Lock, it's a very, very different set of circumstances. Again, you can kind of argue a similar narrative where he lost Cortland Sutton. You know, he had injuries. There was a game that he missed where all the quarterbacks missed. You know, there was a very inconsistent rhythm going on there. The run game wasn't brilliant. You know, you got a lot of similar factors. The difference is that folks aren't convinced on Drew Lock at a top level, whereas Daniel Jones has the backing of the coaching staff and the backing of the ownership. So really the difference is, I think Daniel Jones gets a chance in 2021 to redeem himself. I'm not so sure Drew Lock does. And that's kind of what you're waiting on to see if he does. If he does, then you can make a case that his numbers should go up. But the big question mark with him is, does he actually get the chance to allow him to come back? Because I think at best he's going to be in the competition. That's his best case outcome right now.
Oh, that's fine. As long as he's somewhere available, possibly, I don't mind that. Right, let's get to this list. Our boy Josh Allen is number one, totaled 395.56 fantasy points, played all 16 games, come to his average in a minute. He had 7 MVP weeks, surprisingly only 3 solid weeks, and then 5 bust weeks. So MVP 43% of the time, solid 18%, and then busted 31% of the time. And he averaged 24.72 fantasy points a game. Now, I don't suppose you know this, Murph, but of his MVP, I didn't ask you this in the chat because I've just looked at it and thought, this is interesting. Of his MVP weeks, do you know how many points he accrued towards his 395 in those 7 weeks?
I do have that information not to hand on this sheet without sort of crashing the stream.
Yeah, that's fine. I just wondered. I mean, it was because it must have been.
Yeah, I mean, basically, to kind of set the scene here on Josh Allen, what we're seeing here is actually very different from what we saw from Josh Allen in 2019. Now, if you bought the book in 2019, what we saw from Josh Allen was not a lot of bust weeks at all. I think it was just one, I think, was his bust rate last season. It wasn't a lot at all. I'm just pulling it up. He had three. So he had three bust games, but he only had two MVP games last season. So he was remarkably consistent at just being average when he finished sixth overall last season. So he had 10 games where he was solid. Now, what this has done is by bringing in someone like Stephon Diggs, this has massively opened up the range of outcomes for him. He didn't really add much more on the ground to what he did in previous years. It was purely through the passing game, more passing touchdowns, a more potent offense. Receiver like Stephon Diggs, and that's why you've seen this transition from those solid games going from 10 in 2019 to just three, because he converted so many of those to MVP games. Now, on the flip side of that, when you're so pass heavy as Buffalo were last season at times, again, you're talking here another team that struggled to pound the rock and get the run game established, and they put the ball in the air so many times, that is going to lead to multiple interceptions. It's going to lead to good defenses getting at Josh Allen, and that did happen a few times. The major takeaway of this is we have three seasons of production now from Josh Allen, and all three look remarkably different. However, the scoring has been relatively good in all three seasons. So the confidence is that he has a relatively safe floor, because no matter what offense is being run in Buffalo, he's going to get points. Whether it's a heavy run offense, whether it's a combination of a pass rush offense, or whether it's a heavy pass offense, he is going to get points. He's a relatively safe fantasy asset with that great ability to go through and get you big, big games that were league winning weeks, and in the playoffs, week 16, you know, if you started Josh Allen as your quarterback, you probably won your league unless you were up against Alvin Kamara or Stephon Diggs. But he was a real winner, but you had to take the fact that he probably cost you a week or two. Now, to give you the flip side of what he's giving you, which is game-winning weeks, you would probably take that cost. But what my point is that you don't necessarily know what that Bills offense is going to look like next year. Do they establish the run a bit more? And as such, do they take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands as much? I kind of think they do, and get a bit more balance, which we'll see a slight decrease, but not a huge decrease in his production. I mean, the year before he averaged just under 20 points a game. Making a prediction, I think he'll be somewhere in between the two. I don't think he's going to be the QB1 next year. And I would expect him to be somewhere around maybe the 21, 22 points a game mark, barring injury and major catastrophe.
Yeah, which on this sheet here would slide him down to between, I don't know, 7 and 10-ish, something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be, listen, I'll get to a major takeaway at the end of this, but he is someone that's in an elite tier of quarterbacks, and he's someone that, if on the board and certain quarterbacks have gone off the board, he's very well worth investing in. His ADP rough prediction is probably going to be somewhere around round 6 or 7. And I think a lot of these guys are going to be in that ballpark. I think there's a tier of about 4 or 5 guys in that ADP range that you're going to want to get one of them, whether that's Josh Allen, whether that's a few others. But for me, looking at the construction of rosters now, cannot walk away without getting one of those guys.
Yeah,
Josh Allen is a guy you'd be very happy with on your team. I don't think he's someone you should necessarily go out and out target, but I think you should have a group of 4 or 5 guys. And as long as you get one of those guys, you're going to be okay at the position.
So next up is Aaron Rodgers at 2. He scored 382 points, played all 16 games, averaged just under 24 fantasy points. He was the 12th quarterback taken off the board last year, so he was a steal. Had 5 MVP games, 9 solid games, and just the one bust game. So that pretty much made him 31% of the time an MVP. Over half of his games, he had solid games at 56%, and then just 6% of his games were a bust. And he improved from 11th last year. So We all knew about the Aaron Rodgers revenge talk because of the Jordan Love situation. Do we think he regresses somewhat next year, or 100%. Do we think he stays roughly top five-ish when they give him more weapons, hopefully, in the draft?
What you're seeing on the screen now is Aaron Rodgers at his ceiling. This is the best Aaron Rodgers is going to do for you as a fantasy quarterback at this stage of his career. I don't like buying players at their ceiling as a fact. We look at what he did just 12 months ago, and people will, especially Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers truthers will tell me, well, it was the first year of the Matt LaFleur offense and he was getting used to what was going on and whatever, right? He's the Hall of Fame quarterback. I get it. Last season, he got four MVP games, league games, eight bust games. He busted 53.33% of the time.
That's a lot.
Between last season and this season, from a personnel perspective, he threw to the same receivers, he had the same running backs, he had the same coaches. He had AJ Dillon was the only thing that really changed, and a different tight end because they started targeting Tonyan. You cannot tell me that Robert Tonyan and AJ Dillon were the reason why Aaron Rodgers was so good this year. Ultimately, it's a combination of he played completely out of his skin and played as well as he's probably ever going to play again in the NFL. And a combination of he was hyper-efficient. He was hyper-efficient, mm-hmm. which is great, but very unlikely to be repeated. So I do think, and his average from 12 months ago was 17.5 points a game. He's putting up nearly 24. I'm not saying he regresses to the mean average of that and goes to around 20 points, but it wouldn't shock me if that was the case. Again, very similar to Josh Allen. What are we going to get out of Aaron Rodgers next year? There's a few more question marks for me with a draft next year. And I think he's going to be fine. But he's not in that group of players I would be aggressively targeting in sort of the sixth round of ADPs. I'd be quite happy to go for a safety net of guys after him. If he falls to the seventh, eighth round, that is a slightly different story. And then I can see the reason to invest in him. But if I'm looking at this core group of six of guys, I'm okay missing out on Aaron Rodgers. So again, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a lot of my rosters next year. That doesn't mean he's going to be a bad player, nor is he someone that you shouldn't be drafting. I just think he is going to be potentially overdraft because of the fact he's MVP and that he will regress to the mean. I don't think you're going to see a statistical season out of Aaron Rodgers like the one we have just seen.
That makes sense. So somebody who started this season hot and slowed down after potential injury that may have knocked the way he played last year, it was Kyler Murray, who is at number three. He was just behind Rodgers with 378. Again, played 16 games because he came into the last week off the bench. Averaged 23.67 points. He was the fourth quarterback off the board. He had six MVP weeks, seven solid weeks, and just two bust weeks, which surprised me because I thought he may have had a couple more.
No. And the one thing about Kyler Murray, what we've seen is, as opposed to what we've seen from the last two guys, what you see with Kyler Murray is what you're going to get. He's going to touch the ball a lot. He's going to run. He's going to make plays happen. He's going to do it with his feet as well as he's also going to do it with his arm. And he's good enough to sustain both at a good rate. The only difference between Kyler Murray rookie year and Kyler Murray sophomore year is he converted two bust games into MVP games. He had the same amount of solid games 12 months ago. He's converted two. He had four bust games. He's down to two. And he had four MVP games 12 months ago. He has six this year. Ultimately, the numbers are relatively the same. So when you're looking at Kyler Murray and you look at what you're buying, he is someone in that group of sixth round, late fifth, early sixth round ADP, where I'd be very happy to push the button there on Kyler Murray, because you're going to get a quarterback with a safe rushing floor. He doesn't bust that often, as we're seeing. Four bust games in your rookie year is pretty good. The fact that he decreased that further says to me that it wouldn't shock me if he decreases that number again next time out. Remarkably consistent, decent ADP range. If you can get him in that fifth, sixth round, I would have no problem pushing the button on Kyler Murray. And I'm doing drafts now and I'm getting him on that 5-6 turn. And I think that's a fine place to take a quarterback now, especially if you're going to get a guy like, because he's lock and load, you can play him 16 games, all right, you'll have to get a bench replacement in for one game. Mm. But he's not going to... it wouldn't shock me if his outcome was to improve on third next year.
Next up, Patrick Mahomes in at four, only played 15 games, but he did score 374 points, averaged just under 25 points a game with 24.96, was the second quarterback off the board, and he was pretty much as consistent as they come. He had six MVP weeks, eight solid games, and then just the one bust, which meant he was pretty much playable all but 6% of the time.
So Patrick Mahomes, the highest average points per game of any player in the league last season. So in terms of played significant amount of games, I think he did anyway overall, but he actually had a better average than Josh Allen. Obviously, he sat out in week 17 to Chad Henne, and that's why there's a game missing on his record that isn't on others. But the key thing here is his ADP. So Patrick Mahomes is going off the board somewhere around, so that's set mid-second to mid-third round. So why, if you're looking, and we've seen this both years, you know, last season he got injured, he was eighth overall. Again, nothing wrong with his production. He averaged 21.54 points. He's remarkably consistent in what he's going to give you. But ultimately, he's not putting up 30-plus points a game. So taking Kyler Murray over taking Patrick Mahomes 3 to 4 rounds later is not a disadvantage to you in the same average that is weighing out taking Patrick Mahomes at ADP 18 to 26. So the question is, why do people do it? Because it's a name. You get people who just think it's going to work out better 1 year. And he's had a record-breaking season once, and they think that they're kind of chasing that number again. But for the last 2 years, it's not happened. Yes, okay, injury last year. This year was nothing to do with injury. He had all his studs available. All his players were available. He's a very good quarterback. Overall, highest points per game average. But it's just not enough to warrant not taking someone like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes 3-4 rounds later. That's why I will never get Mahomes on a redraft roster. It just isn't going to happen for me in a 1QB league, because I'm not going to go and pay up for him because the value isn't there. It never has been there. It's certainly not there now. So, yes, granted, he will probably be the... You know, if Mahomes is the QB1 next year, am I going to be shocked? Absolutely not. Is he going to create enough value for you to take him four rounds higher than the next replacement? I very much doubt it, unless he puts up... He's going to need to put up an average of about 34, 35 points for him to do that. And that would be a record-breaking season for an NFL quarterback, and I can't ever see it happening.
Okay, so let's move on to a couple of guys now who we have absolutely no idea what's happening, really. The first is Deshaun Watson. He scored 369.32 fantasy points, played all 16 games, averaged 23.08. He was the sixth quarterback off the board, so actually paid value-wise, because he finished better than his ADP. He only had four MVP week, but nine solid weeks. And then, as I said, he was pretty much good for the rest of the season, and then he had two bust games. So 56% of his games were solid games, and that was at Houston, where he probably won't be next year.
Well, we don't know. So I think this... So we start with Watson. Watson, as you said, fifth overall. He actually dropped down. He was second overall scoring QB last year. But his actual points per game and total points scored were up. Let's not forget they took away DeAndre Hopkins from him, so he had no stud receiver to throw to, and he put up more fantasy points. Mainly that's because the team was terrible, and they were just ongoing, always on attack, because they were losing. They lost a lot of games last season. You know, they ended up with the 3 pick. I mean, they've traded it, but that's what they would have got for the right reasons. The thing that encourages you about Deshaun Watson is that he is pretty much bust-proof, because he had not a great core of receivers, not a great offense, really, yet he played completely out of his skin, and that really retaliated well in terms of the points. Like I said, he scored with a worse cast, which tells you that you're basically, what you're buying with Deshaun Watson is you're buying elite, safe productivity, similar to Kyler Murray. So again, you can buy Deshaun Watson in the late fifth, early sixth round, maybe even later than that. I've seen him going late sixth round. yes, okay, we don't know where he's going to be. I can see a path where he remains in Houston. I can see a path where he goes to another team. What we're seeing is you don't need to worry about where he goes because he played with a pretty poor cast 12 months ago, or not even that, a few months ago, and yet he is doing better as a result. So Lee's messaging me saying that he says, do I see a path to where Watson's going to sit out time? I think it's going to get too much. I think it will get resolved before then. I don't think the Texans are going to happen. You know, their stance is they're not going to trade. I still see a path where he gets traded. I still see that path being Miami in my personal gut. I don't think he's going to sit out, but that is the only thing you're really risking. If you're participating in drafts late, you're going to know that answer. If it's you're drafting now, there might be that slight uncertainty. I wouldn't worry. I don't think Deshaun Watson is that person who is going to just sit out and forego his contract. I mean, we're talking about tens of millions of dollars. It never really pans out when players do that. I think he will play. So I'm not too worried about Deshaun Watson. And again, I would rather have Deshaun Watson than Aaron Rodgers. And I'd rather have Deshaun Watson than Patrick Mahomes, especially given the prices you're going to have to pay. Russell Wilson, very similar, although we've got a very strange scenario with him about him not being happy in the Seahawks. How much of it's smoke and how much of it is talk and how much of this is destiny for him to really try and move? I don't really know. Ultimately, if he goes back, this is this whole let Russ cook, and he had phenomenal first half numbers. He had remarkable tail off numbers in the second half. You know, you hear talks of the GM, they want to run the ball more. You know, they did this last season. The one thing with Russell Wilson, he's remarkably consistent, 20.89 points per game last season, 22.49 points per game this season. Even if he regresses back to his 2019 numbers, that was still good enough for a top five, top six finish. Again, you're buying relatively safe, cheap, good. He's going even later. You're getting him in the late sixth, early seventh round. So again, he's at the sort of tail end of these guys that you're getting that are in this elite tier of quarterbacks. I, again, would rather have Russell Wilson than Aaron Rodgers. On token of that, what you're buying is safe productivity. It's almost bust proof. So, you know, for me, the three guys in this draft, no matter what, who I would say are absolutely bust proof, are Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately too high a price, I wouldn't pay it, but Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson are bust proof. I would say Josh Allen isn't quite bust proof week to week, but as an overall commodity is probably bust proof. And I think you can buy him. So I'm looking at these guys that you're getting in the sixth, seventh round. I'm quite happy to take Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray in particular. Again, Kyler Murray's bust proof. For me, they're the guys I will be targeting, and probably I will have a lot of those guys on my teams next year, because that sixth round price is well worth paying for one of those QBs to get that certainty at the position. And these guys are just getting that production year on year and are doing a great job. And I think that we now are moving away from this late round quarterback theory of you can just sit there and wait until the 11th round to get a QB. These guys have enough difference makers to where you can pay a sixth round price. And there's a good reason to do it, because they are going to contribute 5-6 points a game more. And that will be the difference between wins and losses come the end of the season.
So in at number 7 is Ryan Tannehill with 343 points, played 16, averaged 21.4 a game. He was the 21st quarterback off the board, which is ridiculous considering he finished 7th. He had 5 MVP games, 3 solid games, and 7 bust games, which meant 43% of the time he busted for you, but yet finished 7th.
Yeah, but just when the good games were good, he was very good. Again, hyper efficient in the red zone, very efficient red zone offense, very good, safe passer. The bust games he had were when they were predominantly run heavy for the most part. So that was in line with Derrick Henry running for 200 yards a game kind of thing. And it was more of a game manager kind of nurture the ball, don't turn the ball over, let Derrick Henry kind of run over teams. There was a couple of bad games in there, but that was majorly why. There's some changes on the horizon for Tannehill. His offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, is gone. He's now the head coach of the Falcons, so he's going to get a new OC. There's probably going to be a little bit of change there. Tannehill's a very good safety net for me. If you're not going to invest in the guys in the sixth, seventh round, and you're going to have to wait to get a quarterback, you know, Tannehill is someone that's going to be available in the 9th, 10th round. If you're not going to get these sort of elite guys and you're going to go for the next tier down, Tannehill, along with the next quarterback we'll talk about, is kind of in the form of that next tier that you can invest in and be confident that they're going to put solid numbers together, that you, again, you kind of can start them every week and not too worry, but they're not going to win your leagues. And whether it's the guys like Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, you can win a league with those guys. These guys won't, you'll have to draft very well in the other positions, but they're not going to kill you in the league either.
So moving on, it only took 8 players, Murph, but we finally found somebody. Fire the cannons. Tom Brady is in at number 8. Super Bowl champion, 337 points a game, played 16, averaged 21.12 a game, was the 10th quarterback off the board, which I thought was surprisingly high. I thought he would have been slightly after that.
Everyone was in for him last year due to the offense he was inheriting.
Yeah, I just felt that seems surprisingly early to me. He did, however, have 4 MVP games, 5 solid games, but busted 6 times.
Yeah, and this is going to not shock anyone. He busted quite a lot very early on. New offense, no offseason, no real time. He busted 3 times in the opening 6 weeks. So that shouldn't shock anyone. And there were games he threw interceptions or multiple interceptions in. I think with Tom Brady, again, he for me is with that Ryan Tannehill. He's a good safety net guy. Tom Brady is not going to win you a league as a quarterback. I mean, the fact that he's still playing at his age is nothing short of remarkable. The franchise are not only happy with him, but they're going to extend his contract, it looks like, and we'll get that in the coming days. So it'll be some extra cap relief to Tampa, but he will be playing past 45, which is just nothing short of ridiculous. Tom Brady is, listen, you're going to be able to get Tom Brady in the 9th round. If you miss on these guys, Tom Brady's going to be fine. He's not going to kill you. He will kill you some weeks, as we've seen with the bust weeks, because he will have the sort of week where he'll throw for 220 yards and 2 touchdowns. That is going to happen because wins over production is more important to Brady at this stage of his career. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have anything to prove. He doesn't need to go and have a 500 yard passing game because he's been there. He's done it. He's there about wins and W's. So, he doesn't need to worry about money. He doesn't need to worry about his next contract. He's not playing for the same thing that other guys are playing for. In terms of Brady, you're buying a really good safety net in that 9th round, maybe where he's going. And you can win the league, but you're going to have to do similar to Ryan Tannehill. You're going to have to nail the other positions because you are going to be at a very small, slight disadvantage if you don't get those elite guys in the 6th, 7th round.
So let's move to the next end of the age bracket, as you were. Justin Herbert is in at 9. He scored 332 points, so just 5 less than Tom Brady. Only played 15 games, averaged 22.19, was the 36th quarterback off the board because Tyrod was going to be the starter.
Yeah.
He was fairly consistent. He had 4 MVP, 5 solid, and then 5 bust games. It was Justin Herbert's first season in the league, right?
We should talk about Lamar as well, because these two were statistically a dead heat. Both Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson finished 0.06 points apart. So effectively, they had the same fantasy season. But Justin Herbert did it in less games because Tyrod started, you know, game week 1, and it was only week 2 that Herbert came into the game late and took over. You know, and Lamar did miss a week for injury. So really, statistically, they had exactly the same season. We'll start with Herbert. He's got a new coaching staff, second year. People have high hopes for Herbert. His rookie season was nothing short of remarkable. The best rookie season any rookie quarterback has had. We're talking about the offensive rookie of the year. And rightfully so. I don't know what we're going to get because it's a difference. Again, you're talking about a different coordinator, different head coach, different philosophy. You could see some changes in Herbert. We don't have enough pre-production to see how that's going to pan out. So I think there's a little caution in me in Herbert. I think he gets overdrafted. I think he's probably someone that's going to be available in the 7th round. If you missed out on those guys, I completely understand. And I might even do it myself by Herbert in a few places, but I would be diversifying my portfolio. I'm not sure if I'm all in on Herbert. I got him in a lot of dynasty places, and I'm very happy that I've got him for the prices that I paid for him. I'm delighted, and I think he's going to be absolutely fine. But do I think he's quite in that elite tier? Some days I think he is, and some days I think he's not. I'd like to see a little bit more production. As for Lamar Jackson, you know, it was a down year. We're talking about the guy who set one of the best fantasy quarterback seasons of all time 12 months ago. He dropped almost 100 points, believe it or not. You know, 421 points he put up 12 months ago. Last season, 332. So it was a drop of 85 points almost he dropped. And that was really simple. Offenses decided to contain Lamar's running. Well, defenses decided to contain Lamar's running. And guess what? When they made him throw the ball, he wasn't quite as good as as he could or should have been. Now, you can sit there and lament the weapons that he's got. Marquise Hollywood-Brown, although he is a first-round pick. Willie Snead, you know, he needs some help on the outside. What he needs is a perimeter guy. He needs a go-up-and-get-him guy. That is what, you know, Justin Herbert has in Keenan Allen. It's what Kyler Murray has in in DeAndre Hopkins. It's what Josh Allen has in Stephon Diggs. The reason those guys are much higher up is because they have that go up and get them guy. So when you get those 50-50 balls, you've got someone who's going to make those plays. And Lamar Jackson doesn't have that. And until he has that, you will see a rebound in his performance. And I think he's someone that is relatively safe, but I still think he is someone who's going off boards way too early for me. He's going off the boards in the third, fourth round because people are chasing that 421-point season. Mm-hmm. I don't see that again for Lamar until he gets at least a big, big receiver. They might get one in the draft this year. They might, you know, they might get one in free agency. I don't quite know how they're going to do that, but he needs a weapon. And until he gets one, he's overpriced. He's overpriced in the third or fourth round. Give me Josh Allen. Give me Kyler Murray. Give me Deshaun Watson. Give me Russell Wilson. I'm happy with any of those guys. But that's not to say that he is a bust by any stretch of the imagination. Lamar is potentially still an elite player, but he's going to need some help to get back to where he was in 2019.
Yeah. So we move to number 11, and that's Kirk Cousins. 306 fantasy points, so quite a drop off from Lamar at 10.
Yeah,
he played all 16. He only averaged 19.14 a game. He was the 22nd quarterback off the board, so if you waited like and picked up Cousins, you didn't necessarily kill yourself. But where you did kill yourself is the fact that he didn't have a single MVP game, had 9 solid games, 6 bust games. So if you played Kirk Cousins every week, I don't imagine you were happy come the end of the season.
No, Kirk Cousins is the perfect superflex quarterback. That is what he is. He's not a guy you want to start in your main spot, but he's more than good enough to play in that superflex spot. He is like Mr. Superflex. That is where Kirk Cousins excels.
Captain Superflex.
You know, he was 13th last season. He's 11th this season. He just is going to be in that range. He's going to be the fringe QB1 QB who's not going to shoot the lights out. He's not going to put up massive weeks for you, but he puts up a lot of very decent weeks and you'll score just fine. He ultimately is someone who's not going to kill you in leagues, but as you say, he's not going to put up those weeks to where, you know, you're going to have to win in every other position. And if you're one of those that goes very late on QB to the point where you're going to let the first 10 guys get off the board and maybe even Matty Ice off the board too, Kirk Cousins is your line of demarcation. He is the kind of guy that I'm streaming. And he is that last line for me of players who I'm going, I'm either streaming or I'm starting Kirk Cousins. And I'm probably still thinking about streaming. But he's good enough to where you don't need to. But he's not going to, on his own, win you fantasy championships.
No. And I mean, from the data in front of us, it's very obvious that from Kirk Cousins, that line is blatantly apparent from what you can see color-wise. There isn't much nice after this point, really, considering for starting quarterback in the one quarterback league. A large drop-off after Kirk Cousins was Matty Ice with 280 points, played all 16 again. Only averaged 17.53 points. He was the 8th quarterback, so you lost out on value if you took him as the 8th quarterback off the board. Had 3 MVP, 3 solid, but 9 bust weeks.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that was due to just how bad the coaching was. That didn't help them. He's a better player than that. I don't think he's as a fantasy asset. I think he's past his best as a fantasy past that MVP season we saw a few years ago. Looking back at 12 months ago, he only played 14 games. He averaged 19 points per game. So again, we're looking at someone remarkably consistent, 17 and a half, 19 points a game. He probably goes in that Kirk Cousins, probably even slightly better. He probably has slightly more upside, as you can see with the MVP weeks. He has a better receiving cast. It's a better offense. Matty Ice is someone who I'd probably take over Kirk Cousins, but probably over no one else above him. The big question is, how long does Matty Ice have left? Is he still going to be a Falcon? They're in massive cap trouble. Do they get rid? Do they put him up for another year? Does he improve Arthur, under Arthur Smith? He very well could do. Again, he's in this range of safety net. You'll do okay getting him, but he's not going to go off the board at QB8 again. You know, he probably realistically is going to come off the board at QB12. And that's fine. And again, I think you're drawing this line of demarcation between Cousins and Matt Ryan, and that's kind of it. I think once you go outside these guys, you really are in streaming territory. And again, Matty Ice, perfectly good QB2 for your Superflex leagues. I've got him as like QB3 in a couple. I'm more than happy with that. Like, that's kind of what you want.
Yeah. After Matt Ryan, sort of possibly the next guy, the gap just keeps... It's an exponential growth at this point, and it falls away really quickly. So in 13th, we've got Derek Carr. He scored 272 points, played 16, averaged 17 a week, was the 27th quarterback off the board, maybe because there was some controversy with Marcus Mariota and we weren't entirely sure
who was
going to be the starter. Only had one MVP week, though, but had seven of both the good and bust weeks. So,
yeah. I guess we should talk about him in a similar vein to we talk about the next person, Ben Roethlisberger, very similar profile, so that there's two of them both at the same time. The only difference is Ben Roethlisberger played one less game, which for some reason I haven't charted where he ended up, or Derek Carr missing a game from his profile. I'll double check that when I go through. Derek Carr. So I know I've not put his week 17 in. So I'll look at where it is. It's slightly wrong. I'll update that, especially before it goes to print. In terms of Derek Carr and where we are with him, really simple. You know what you're getting with him. The question is he going to be the long-term answer in Oakland? Probably not. Does he have the full faith and confidence of the coaching staff based on the noises coming out? He does this season, and I think he's, again, perfectly adequate. We're now sort of, any of these guys down here, we're reaching the line of people that we're not comfortable drafting as starters. These are guys that you're going to draft as your backup QB, if you're drafting a backup QB. And Derek Carr is fine, not sexy, but he'll do a job and he'll get it done. Same with Big Ben. This is arguably Big Ben's last year in Pittsburgh. He's losing Juju. We looks like he's got a pretty good core of receivers there. They need to establish the run more to help him more. But that arm is not what it used to be as a cannon. And he has definitely dropped off. His average depth of target is much lower than it ever used to be. And he's coming off statistically a pretty average year that's only going really one way. He also just took a $5 million pay cut, which tells you all you need to know about, you know, where he sees himself in the short term, which is with the Steelers and then probably retiring. So really, I think where you're at now is these guys are their bench guys. You don't really want to be relying on Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, because again, you're conceding give or take 100 points to these elite QBs.
Which is a lot.
And that is going to be very difficult to overcome at the end of the season. 100 points is a lot in one position. So you don't wrong side of that. And then you're looking at someone like Big Ben, who is older, injury prone, has had injuries. Yes, he played 15 games last season, but is he realistically going to continue that streak? I don't know. So we're now talking about, and we can whittle through the rest of these pretty quickly. The rest of these guys are guys that you wouldn't want to have. If you're at this stage of the draft, I'm punting someone like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. I guess those guys...
Or Joe Burrow. Again, Joe Burrow, I mean, we haven't talked about.
No, and then we've also got the people who are coming in, right? So the Trey Lance, I would say Trey Lance first because he's the first name, but Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, they could all realistically be starters next year, and they're not on this list. So at some point, we have to throw slides in that aren't even here. Somebody who's next on the list, Matt Stafford at 15, scored 260, did play all 16 games, even though of his injury worries. Only 16.2 fantasy points a game, but was missing Kenny Golladay, as we mentioned last week, for pretty much all of the season. Had zero MVP weeks, six good weeks, and then nine bust weeks, but is no longer in Detroit. Is the quarterback in Los Angeles for the Rams. So where do you see Stafford being on this list next year, come the end of the year?
If he's QB15, it holds absolutely no surprise to me. Jared Goff hasn't, where was Jared Goff 12 months ago? He was QB15.
But do you think Matt Stafford in a vacuum is a better quarterback than Jared Goff?
Yeah, he's a better QB than Jared Goff.
So do you think that 15 is the Los Angeles Rams area for quarterbacks, or do you think that
Matthew Stafford? Yeah, I do, because they run the ball well. They run the ball. They're very efficient passing, running offense, and their QB. Listen, in order for the Rams to be successful, Matt Stafford cannot throw the ball more than 500 times. If they're throwing the ball 600 times, 650 times, two things are going to happen. One, they're going to lose a lot of games. Two, Matt Stafford's going to get injured. I'm not convinced Matt Stafford can throw the ball 600 times and be fit. Back, shoulders, all the numerous injuries that he's had at this stage of his career. That's no knock on Matt Stafford. He's had a fine career as a professional. But you're not bringing in Matt Stafford to throw the ball 600 times. And that is where, as a result, he's going to lose volume based guys like Ben, who will probably throw the ball close to 600 times.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Just numbers. We're not looking at their play. None of these guys are bad quarterbacks. You know, we make a joke about, realistically, there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. They're the 32 best players in the world at their position. None of these players are bad. It's just a case of, based on the systems of where they play, these are not guys I want to be having on my teams. As starters, in particular. As bench guys, maybe. I'm in the vein of Stafford. There's no upside to Stafford. There's no upside to him. So I would rather stream and get the upside from the stream than I would from playing Matt Stafford.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. In at 17 is Baker Mayfield, who scored 248 points, played all six. Oh, no, I've missed Cam Newton at 16, although he's irrelevant because he shouldn't be in this list.
He could end up back at New England, but, we all know where we are with Cam Newton. Cam Newton is effectively a running threat quarterback who has an arm that is surgically repaired more times than I've had hot dinners. And as a result, he is a declining asset in the NFL. He said, is he good enough to start? He might be, I don't know. He's not a player that you really want on a lot of rosters. Not bad as a backup if he's going to be next kind of guy, late end throw, but I don't think anyone's drafting Cam Newton this year. The same way I don't think a lot of people are going to draft any of the guys left on the list. I mean, we can kind of rattle through them. Baker Mayfield is someone who, as we talked about last season, there's no upside to Baker Mayfield. They're a run first team. He has some good points about him, and he's not a bad quarterback. For me, he's kind of that line of he's the new Dalton line for me in the NFL. He's perfectly fine. He's not going to cost you a Super Bowl berth or playoff run, but he's not going to get you there on his own. And his fantasy numbers just rank as perfectly average. And he has been remarkably consistent in being perfectly average last season, 15 games, 227 was his output this season, 16 games, 248. So he slightly improved his average from 15.14 to 15.1, 15 points a game. That's what he is. He's a 15-point-a-game quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater is not going to have a job next year. Jared Goff could see some upside. It'd be interesting to see what you get. If he, for me, of all these guys, is the only one. Him and Wentz are the only two I'm interested in at this stage. Because Goff is on, obviously going to a different team. They do pass the ball. They do sling the rock. Matt Stafford has put up reasonably good numbers. It'd be interesting to see if they let Goff go and see what we get. Because I'm not convinced we've seen everything in Goff. He certainly hasn't been the quarterback that was number one overall. And I'm thinking that's more the system than the player.
Yeah.
So I'm not actively drafting Jared Goff. But if Jared Goff rebounded into a top 12 QB next year, I also wouldn't be shocked. No. I think he could be one of those guys that could be a late round pickup. You stash on your bench and he could have some really good weeks. Philip Rivers is retiring.
It'd be interesting with Jared Goff. I mean, he needs Kenny Golladay fit. That's an absolute must to have somebody of that stature on the outside. Marvin Jones, is he going to be in Detroit next season?
Gone.
Probably not.
There's, nah.
Other than that, I mean,
he's gone. They'll tag Golladay because they can't lose all their receivers, and the tag is pretty cheap for receivers this year. So they'll tag Golladay, I'm pretty sure of that. Jones is gone. Amendola's gone. They've got Cephas, I think.
Quintez Cephas, yeah.
He's not bad. You know, he came up with some big plays down the stretch. They'll go receiver in the draft. They might even try and get Hook one off free agency as well. They've got an offensive coach now instead of a defensive head coach, although we don't know what we're going to get out of Dan Campbell, really, because he's never been a coordinator at any level of the game.
I mean, DeAndre Swift is probably going to be the running back there now as well, which helps Jared Goff. So, yeah, I think Jared Goff could surprise a few next season, but I'm not saying he's going to win you any leagues. You mentioned Phil Rivers is gone. Drew Brees, is he gone? Probably.
Even if he's not gone, he doesn't play 16 games. And, you know,
even
what we've seen
gone,
out of him,
gone.
He's gone. He should not be drafted in any fantasy league next year.
I drafted him. I just drafted him in the Devy, but that was
that's different. You're
absolute
desperate
need.
Yeah. I mean, fine. So let's talk about Wentz. Wentz is someone who we both liked coming into this season. We thought he could put a good season. He obviously had a terrible year, and it's not all down to play. It was a lot of going on behind the scenes. He goes behind a better offensive line now. Wentz is someone who will rebound from the numbers that we're looking at on the screen here. He will climb upwards, and he will, you know, we're looking at his points per game, 16.53. That probably steers him towards 15th, 16th in this list. The one thing I would say about Wentz is I think those numbers will only go up. He, again, is someone I'll be targeting as a super flex ad. I think his best range of outcome is somewhere like 10 to 12 is his ceiling as a fantasy quarterback. I think realistically you're looking in that Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan kind of.
So
yeah,
Carson,
I could start
Carson
him.
Wentz becomes the new line, that line in the sand that you dare not cross as a starter.
I mean, he's on the fringes of that line. He's either just below it or on that line for me.
Which is fair.
He's not someone I'm actively targeting in leagues. Because he's not even on a really expensive deal for the Colts, and they could very easily move on after a year or two. So it'd be interesting. He's playing for his job, and we could see a nice rebound, but I don't see the path to him being an elite fantasy quarterback moving forward.
Well, Rush Nation, if you have been diligent, you'll notice that I mentioned Drew Lock and Daniel Jones at the start of the show, and I said that I wasn't going to tell you where they are, but we have now done 22 players. So we're doing the top 24, which means Drew Lock is at 23 and Daniel Jones is at 24, actually propping up the table. They were pretty much exactly the same. Drew Lock played 13 games compared to Daniel Jones's 14. They both scored 181 to 180 fantasy points. Daniel Jones didn't have an MVP week. Drew Lock managed to get one. They both had two solid weeks. And then Drew Lock busted 9 times. Daniel Jones busted 11. We've talked about Daniel Jones's issues with basically everything. He could regress higher up, right? And then Drew Lock, let's say Drew Lock is the starter next year. Do you think he can improve on 23rd?
No.
Oh,
I think if anything, he goes down. I've seen enough of Drew Lock now to know what we're getting. I'm looking at the guys on the list that he's lower than, who you can see get instant wins over. Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, if they retire, Teddy Bridgewater, Cam Newton. So there's 4 guys. He's going to jump up 4 slots. Right, here are the guys that are going to jump him automatically, just off either injuries or coming back or are now started in the NFL. Jordan Love is going to outperform Drew Lock.
No.
Yeah,
how
and ambiguous.
You,
I mean,
how
we're not
can you say that?
Jordan Love, first of all, is a better rushing prospect.
Do you mean Jordan Love, or do you mean Jalen Hurts?
Sorry, Jalen Hurts is who
okay.
I mean. Sorry,
now I'm on board.
Sorry,
I was going to say, Jordan Love is not a starting quarterback.
No, Jalen Hurts. I do apologize. Jalen Hurts is going to be above Drew Lock. I think that's not really a wild take here. I don't think anyone is going to sit here and shoot me for that. Jordan Love, now I get it. Yeah. Okay. Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, agreed. If he's the starting quarterback for the Jags, and
I mean, he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Jags, right? So that's a done deal. So Trevor Lawrence is going to be. Justin Fields, depends where he starts, pretty sure if he starts, he's going to be above Drew Lock. And then, so now you're looking at just automatically, first of all, I think Daniel Jones is going to finish above Drew Lock, because I think he's just got more things going for him, especially if Barkley can stay healthy.
Joe Burrow, you haven't mentioned Joe Burrow.
I haven't even mentioned Joe Burrow. That's someone who can go above him right now. I'm just looking to see if I've missed anyone really obvious who was injured last year. I don't think so. Jimmy G, if he plays 16 games, will finish above Drew Lock. These are all guys who... Jameis Winston, if he plays over Drew Brees, is going to finish higher than Drew Lock. I mean, now we're talking 7 or 8 guys. You know, for me, Drew Lock is in the bottom 5 production fantasy quarterbacks in the NFL. He is where he is on this chart, because you had the Tua Tua, that's another one we haven't even talked about. I mean, like, how many more guys do we want to spit out?
Stop.
I mean, listen, the only reason Drew Lock is 23rd is Daniel Jones had an absolute mare. Tua and Fitzpatrick timeshared. Listen, Jimmy G got injured and then therefore didn't play the requisite amount of games to appear on this chart, because he didn't score enough points. Jag situation. So again, we're going to replace them. Like,
It seems to me like Drew Lock is rapidly becoming the worst quarterback in the league from this chat, and that stings a little.
I don't think he's the worst. It's just, if you're going to play him,
good luck.
I mean, yeah. As I said at the top of the show, it wouldn't shock me if they move on from him.
Okay.
But at the same token of it, what I will say is that he has nowhere to go but up. So if he did manage to put it together when he played, I mean, yeah, okay, maybe he could fall. But realistically, you know, we're looking at his numbers, it's less than 14 points per game. That's pretty poor for a starting quarterback in the NFL, for a fantasy perspective. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying from a maths stats perspective, that is pretty poor. And that is not going to get you very high on board. He doesn't rush a lot. He doesn't do a lot of his feet. His movement in the pocket is pretty bad. If he gets caught in something, he will probably go up slightly. But I can, like I said, we can name half a dozen guys who are going to jump over him immediately. So
you don't have to cotton wrap it, Murph. I mean, I'm just saying it hurts a little bit.
Just your Devy team, you're better off seeing if, you know, he is someone that you don't want in your team.
No, look, listen, I'm not talking about my Devy team now. I'm talking about my Denver Broncos team.
I think you move on. I think you get a guy. So I think that will be what you want to do. Right, because I know we're pressing time now. People have been very patient. I just want to put a couple of thoughts that I've written down here that I want to
I was going to ask you for your takeaways, Murph. So
yeah, well, that worked out well. So first of all, clear line of elite quarterback talent. I'd say there's 8 quarterbacks that you can quote-unquote class as elite. I would package Rodgers out of that, and I would package potentially Herbert until we see what happens out of that, which leaves you sort of 6 guys. And then really, I think you have to walk away from that draft. And we haven't even mentioned Dak, by the way. Dak is another one I'd be putting in there.
Oh, God.
So again, we're looking at, for me, the guys who I think are absolutely elite in this sort of elite tier of players that you want to be getting away from a draft from: Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, and Lamar Jackson. And the only reason I'm not putting Mahomes there is Mahomes is going to go way above. So if you're one of those people who are going to take Mahomes in the third round, second round, then, you know, that's you. But that's not going to be what the majority of people listening to this are going to be doing. So there's this elite group of 6 guys, and I think you have to walk away from a draft with one of those guys. I think you just have to. I think you have to walk away from either, you know, Dak, Josh, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and Lamar Jackson. I think you have to walk away from a draft with one of those guys. And if Lamar goes too high, I think you need to let him go and just get one of the other guys. It doesn't matter if you get the last guy in that tier, but you have to get one of those guys.
Yep.
I'm wary of, I think Justin Herbert could join that tier. I think he absolutely can. I'm a bit more skeptical, and I think there's more risk attached to that, especially with a new coach. Aaron Rodgers, I think, regresses slightly out of that tier. I think this is, you're buying him at his absolute ceiling. Let others pay the ceiling price. Go get one of the other guys.
Yep.
that's what I mean by that elite tier. I mean, yes, Patrick Mahomes is in his is in this tier as well, but just price wise, he's not in it for me because you're going to have to pay too much to get him. And maybe the same might be true of Lamar Jackson. If you miss on those guys, you have to get Aaron Rodgers. You just have to. And if you miss him, then you have to get one of Brady, Tannehill, Matt Ryan. And if you miss them, you have to, with your very next pick, no matter what, take Kirk Cousins. But now you're seeing the real line of demarcation falling. And then you've got Jalen Hurts, and people are going to draft Jalen Hurts out of the interest and wherever he lands. And Jalen Hurts' range of outcome could be anywhere from 5 to 15 on this board.
That's fair.
So, you know, stick to the known commodities of what you're going to get. You can buy, and, you know, we're going to call this the mid-round QB approach because that is effectively what it is. Take a QB in the mid-round, take a known commodity who is going to be consistent and is going to be an elite consistent performer. If you can walk away from a draft with Kyler Murray every time in the sixth round, then absolutely do it. You know, if Kyler Murray is there for me in the sixth round, that's my auto-pick draft every year. And that means now people are going to snipe me into it. And that's fine because as long as I get one of the other guys, I'm not that fast. But Kyler Murray for me is an automatic sixth round. If he's in there, bang, 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 every single draft. Plug it in now because you shouldn't go into a draft with like that set plan, but you have to get one of these guys. I think that's just a given now with the game. I'd like to see the championship rosters that didn't have any of those guys on and they would have to have drafted or played the waiver wire out of the skin to get to get ahead.
Is that your thoughts on the quarterbacks, or do you?
Well, the other things I was saying. So, as I've put here, Rodgers is going to regress. 17.06 points per game last season. You know, we're looking at a bump of nearly 7 points per game increase this year. I think that regresses to somewhere maybe in the medium. Don't go early QB; it doesn't work. So, don't take Patrick Mahomes. It's not worth it. You're not going to get the value for that. Mid-round QB is the way to go. The three or the four in here, the three in here that I desperately want more than anything are Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, or Russell Wilson. And I would throw Josh Allen in there, but there is a little bit more risk baked into him. But in terms of consistency, Murray, Wilson, Watson, obviously those two guys have got some quarterback starting issues, but this is why I think Kyler Murray. Like, I look at all of this and I go, if I can have Kyler Murray in every single draft, I'll take him now. Thanks very much. See you later. Good night.
We should have ended it right there. Just see you later. Good night. Just bosh. Thanks very much.
But yeah, that's it. And I hope this is a useful exercise. And please come at me at @Murph_NFL for any detail. People are going to want this data. It's going to be in the 2021 fantasy football playbook.
Yeah.
And I will correct and add the couple of games that I missed off here.
Good. That makes me happy. We have done what we always do, Murph, and we've run out of time for the tight ends. But we will get to them in due course, no doubt about it, because there's a... some spicy takes, shall we say, for the tight end business coming up.
You say so? I don't think so, but what do I know?
No, my spicy take was that you don't have a spicy take on it and it's as flat as a pancake, but hey, one of those things. Listen, I massively enjoyed this. Like last year, I thought it was really informative on the stuff that you brought to the table, so I've enjoyed it and I've learned a little bit, which is always good because every day is a school day.
Yes, it is. And especially on the day that the kids went back to school as well.
There you go. There's that box finished up nicely. So, yeah, don't forget, Rush Nation, to check out the Ricky Williams jersey competition. It is our pinned tweet. £2 an entry. It's all going to charity. It's all for a good cause. And it's a legit good jersey. So that's about it. Head over to the website. Check out all the draft content we've got going on. 5yardrush.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter at 5yardrush. Follow Murph at @Murph_NFL. Lee, thanks for doing what you're doing back there. As always, Rush Nation, until next week, don't forget, keep rushing.
Entitled to sexual health, just as much as physical and mental health.
We want to make it easier for folks to find resources. However they engage with us, there's no wrong door.
So it's important that people are able to get access to care that is affirming.
Talking about what their sex life is, about their concerns, and to make sure they're healthy.
Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your sexual health matters. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.